Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
3, 2, 1, and we're back. So we've been doing some unconventional podcasts this week, and the feedback on the one we did yesterday was really great. So we appreciate that when we were telling all of our stories about wolves and all the rest of it. So make sure you go back and listen to that one. So what we're talking about today, what we're focusing on today, is communication. And why communication? Sounds like a boring topic, but it's not. Because what you have probably realized, and you might be guilty of, and we've certainly, you know, seen it happening in society, is people are losing the ability to actually have meaningful conversations. They can, people become so reliant on digital communication. I don't have to tell you guys. It's all instant messaging, texting, and liking, and hearting, and emojiing, and the rest of it. Well, the art and the science of actually having meaningful conversations, it really does bend the time-space continuum when you do know how to do that at a high level.
Very well teed up there. So secret speaking powers for real estate agents, for you, our dear listeners. Here's the question to ask yourself. Do people want to listen to you? The most important tool you have in real estate and in life is your voice. So build good habits and delete the old ones that are likely holding you back from success. Before we get going, Tim, how can they access the notes? Because we're going to have, you know, at least 5 or 6 points here.
Yeah, well, you read my mind. So the notes, unfortunately, they're being clipped because they're too long. And Julie and I like to really pack our podcast full of a lot of useful, practical, tactical content. So if you want the notes for today's podcast and all future podcasts and all past podcasts, and there's thousands of them, by the way, just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, harrisrealestatedaily.com. That is our free newsletter. So you opt in, you'll have instant access to all of our notes, and we're going to be producing a lot more content that's going to go on harrisrealestatedaily.com. And again, this is our new newsletter. And it's going to be something that's going to be much more in-depth. We're going to be talking about interest rate trends. We're going to be doing, I've already got a whole bunch of interviews with top producing agents that we're going to be releasing soon. So this is our effort to really take it to the next level of content we're delivering for all of you. So make sure you register at harrisrealestatedaily.com. And that's where you're going to find the notes for today's show. Now, down below, you will find a lot of other notes too, including a link to join Premier Coaching. And remember, you can join Premier Coaching right now for free. And it is absolutely the smartest move you guys can be making right now, especially going into this turbulent time. I mean, Julie and I were just talking this morning on our walk about the fact that the inventory in the United States and most part of the country is still very, very much depleted. But there's every reason to believe that it's going to start building back up again. You know, the Fed came out and said that the interest rates are going to be certainly lowered this year. So there's a lot of reason to believe that maybe the first 3 or 4 months this year is going to feel like the last 3 or 4 months last year. But that, you know, there forward halfway through the end of the year into the end of the, you know, halfway through the middle of this year into the end of the year is going to feel very much like a boom market. So get ready for it. And that's the reason you guys need to be joining Premier Coaching. So just click the link below or just go to premiercoaching.com. Remember, you can join for free, like as in cost you nothing. And yes, that does include a daily semi-private coaching call.
All right, so back to your secret speaking powers. Your voice affects everything you do, not just in real estate, but in life. So it just makes sense that you would polish your skills and reap the benefits of your hard work. Sometimes just changing your tonality, your pace, or even just a single word can make all of the difference. You know, Plato said, "Wise men speak because they have something to say, fools because they have to say something." And I think that even though that was a long time ago, that still applies to what's going on today.
That seems like every meeting I've ever been to right there. Every meeting from now here forward, I'm going to start out with that. Wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools because they
have
to say something, right? I mean, how many times have you guys been to meetings where people feel like they have to say something even though they're not saying anything? That's called your ego wanting to be recognized.
Yes, that's very true. Definitely in real life or on Zooms. And I've read articles sometimes that it's like, I just read 10 paragraphs, but I got zero content out of that. So it's all related.
Well, in the article writer's defense, they're probably having to write 500 articles to get paid. So they're probably just filling with a bunch of gobbledygook.
The article mill.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, so here's some questions for you, listeners. How do your listeners perceive you? How would you rate your conversations? Does your family respond differently than your best friend? How does that compare to your conversations with your past clients and your centers of influence? Are you having those conversations? Do you embrace meetings or you dread them? What kind of results are you getting in real estate and in life? If you fear the phone, the live presentation, negotiating, or anything else requiring good conversation skills, this is where you need to do the work. Because that stuff's not going away, is it?
So what people need to realize is you have been led to believe that your brand is what's going to give you the edge in your marketplace. Your marketing, your social media, your all the things, right? All the money spending things. Well, when everyone's doing the money spending things, that doesn't give you an edge. You're just like everybody else. What's going to give you an edge is your ability to actually have meaningful conversations with people. And it's something, well, what are you talking about, Tim? I can have meaningful conversations with people. Really? When was the last time you actually had a meaningful conversation with someone that, you know, with a decision-making adult about buying or selling real estate that led to you creating a real estate lead? Some of you, you do it every day, but most of you, you don't. You've gotten addicted to, or maybe don't know any better than, to wait around for a lead to show up in your email or for someone to text you, right? I'm not just talking about centers of influence and past clients. The ones that are the most guilty of this are all those that have been buying leads.
Yes, very well put. So if you, again, if you fear of any of these things, you've got to really drill down and get to work. Now, one of the authors that I like is a guy named Julian Treasure. He wrote a couple of books. One is called How to Be Heard and Sound Business. His 5 TED Talks about communication have been watched more than 100 million times. So you think people crave this kind of skill? How to Speak So That People Want to Listen is in the top 10 TED Talks of all time. He talks about the 7 deadly sins of speaking. How many are you committing? We're going to talk about that today as it applies to real estate and maybe in life. Which ones have you intuitively already pruned from your presentation style? Maybe you used to do this and you didn't get results, so you stopped doing it. Maybe you've only got 2 or 3 of the 7 deadly sins, and maybe you're on the other side of this and have really honed it. If it's not you, think about people that you admire who don't fall into these sins and, you know, maybe be more like their communication. So the first one, and we can certainly sprinkle some stories here if you'd like, but 1 is gossip, speaking ill of someone not present. The message you're sending the listener is that 10 minutes from now, you might be gossiping about them. If you talk about Max like that, you could talk about me just the same way. A bad habit to prune from your conversation. Gossip should not be your currency.
And gossip is one of those things that if you are partaking in it, monitor how you actually feel when you're saying the gossip, when you're passing it along. Now, I will say gossip does have a benefit. There is a reason that, you know, gossip has, you know, evolved along with humans, right? There's a biological imperative for gossip because that's the way you learn who to avoid, you know?
Well, yes, it does have a survival backing to it, I would say.
It's not just all bad. It does have a purpose to it. It's the reason that, you know, it exists. But really, Julie's point is, and really what this is interesting is, if you have to tell somebody, did you hear? Like in your head right now, imagine you've got a juicy bit of gossip about somebody or something. And I want you to imagine you're telling me or Julie that gossip. Do you notice how you feel inside? A little spark of energy, a little hit of adrenaline, right? You get a little endorphin release when you're passing along gossip. That's very fascinating, don't you think? That again is leaning back into the fact that there's a biological imperative for sharing information that might actually help the other person survive.
Yes, but here's where you draw the line. The literal definition is speaking ill of somebody, right? So there's gossip where you're just partaking in information. Did you hear that the road was closed, right? Or did you hear that so-and-so said something else? That's the difference, right? So 2 on our list of conversational sins is judging. Once your listeners have picked up that you're judging them, they cease to listen and they're immune to responding to your attempts to you in a positive way. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean you have to make it a topic of conversation. Maybe that buyer loves black cabinets and you just said this to is the most hideous kitchen that you've ever seen. That's you being judgy. It's not your place to do it. So there's a quote from Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Remember not only to say the right thing in the right place, but far more difficult still to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment."
Well, again, that actually is trying to make yourself feel good, make yourself feel important. Well, our broker, when Julie and I first started selling real estate, Rory Averill, he used to tell us if they like it, you love it, and if they don't like it, if they hate it, you like it, right?
You still like it, right?
Right? In other words, you never say anything bad because you can talk yourself out of a sale or talk yourself out of a listing. And when we're teaching you guys how to be listing agents in Premier Coaching, one of the things we do advise you to do most cases is not be giving the seller directions on how to, you know, prepare the house for sale. Not every seller is going to be very sensitive to it. But if you do that at a time, in other words, before the listing contract signed, you're going to piss the seller off and they're going to list with somebody else because you're going to offend them. you're going to say something that, you know, this color wall or that decorating or this, that, the other thing. And that seller has an emotional tie to whatever it is that you just basically said some crap about. And you're just going to talk yourself out of a listing. So these are all sales skills. It's the reason a lot of you guys are joining Premier Coaching.
Yeah, that's a huge point. You can totally talk yourself out of a listing if you screw that up.
Or a sale on the buyer side.
Or a sale on the buyer side. Yeah, I mean, I can think of many times when it's better to just be quiet. So remember, it's not your house, right? So number three is negativity. This is huge right now. This is way too much out there. So complaining and spreading doubt is one of the things that Julian Treasure calls spreading viral misery. This just makes your listeners want to get away from you as quickly as possible, and they certainly won't want to come back for more. Now, they won't say that to you. They'll just not call you back.
Now, there's a flip side to that. If you find yourself being attracted to people that are always spreading negativity and you're spreading negativity, that's called an adult failure spiral, right?
Yeah.
That you're essentially finding people that are finding you that are all essentially in the same, you know, bad way mentally and emotionally, and nothing ever comes from that. So it's kind of a fascinating, you know, look around and see who you're mostly spending time with, either virtually or otherwise. Are you guys just basically talking crap about each other or talking crap about other people or just spreading the bad news and starting out a lot of your conversations with, did you hear? Things like that. Nothing positive comes from that. And when you do run across somebody who recognizes the fact that negativity is something to be avoided in conversation, and again, there is a use for gossip, just let's be clear. You know, all these things, there's a biological imperative for all of them, even negativity, right? I mean, people are allowed to complain. But you got to be monitoring the fact that as a sales professional, you must avoid being negative. You must avoid having really any negative opinion whatsoever. Because even if you're not offending them with your opinion, the very energy that comes from somebody who's negative in general is not going to be the type of energy you're going to want to have to attract people to you.
Yeah, that's right. Especially talking negatively about the market. And, you know, you can come off like you're not really in the market if all you ever talk about is, oh, there's no inventory to go around and their sales are down and interest rates are high. And that counts as negativity too.
Well, people say things all the time, especially, you know, in this housing market. They're saying, well, home affordability for first-time buyers, interest rates are too high, there's not enough inventory, da 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 da. All those things are true. But the fact is that there's always been a home affordability problem. It's always been hard to buy your first time house. It's always taken too much of your income. It's always been hard to save up the down payment. All those things have always been true. This is not the first generation that's had to suffer trying to buy their first house. It's supposed to be hard because they're expensive, you know, that's just the way it goes.
It's baked in.
Yeah. But people have forgotten that, or maybe a lot of the people that are writing the news headlines are millennials, and they've never experienced that type of thing before. So they don't have the perspective of, you know, looking back a couple, maybe two or three decades to know that this is normal. You know, there's going to be ups and there's downs. And yeah, there's lots of things to complain about. But guess what? There's lots of things to be positive about as well. Look at the amount of new construction that's for sale. I told you guys that the Fed, you know, said that they're going to be lowering rates the second half of the year. There's going to be more inventory coming for sale. So there's lots of reasons to be positive. Oh, and by the way, everyone pretty much has a job. Do you hear of any mass layoffs? Oh, I got another thing. The stock market and all these other things are increasing in value. If you own assets, you're doing really, really well right now. You guys get the point? So avoid the negativity, because a lot of people are stuck in negativity, you know, and they're reinforcing it with the people they hang out with, the things they read. You guys know all of this.
Yeah, so cut it out. All right, number four, excuses. Are you wielding a blame thrower? Instead, own it. Own all of it, even if it's only partially your fault. It's honorable and an amazing example to set for your kids, your clients, and your friends to be accountable. For example, and this is very specific. I've had many conversations about this. I'm going to do this quickly, though.
Sure.
So how do you deliver a meaningful apology? It's a specific four-part process. First, you acknowledge the offending behavior. I forgot to send the signatures back in time, versus the signatures weren't sent in time, or I couldn't find the other agent. That's
blame throwing. Or just lying about it, really.
Yes. Well, that's later in the sins. Oh,
okay.
Right there.
Got it. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
that too. Okay. So first you acknowledge the offending behavior. That's owning it. I forgot to send the signatures back in time. Next is part two of apologizing. State how the mistake was hurtful. I'm sorry that this caused you a lot of stress. It was entirely my fault. Do you see how immediately that takes the stress off the other person?
We need to teach Zoe this.
I have had this conversation with her. The next is make amends. Here's how I'm going to fix the situation. This is where people usually have stopped. If they do the first two, they don't do the next two. You make amends. Here's how I'm going to fix the situation. Or ask the offended party how you can make things better. Letting them be heard can erase negative feelings and correct course. And then the next part is promise the behavior will not happen again. In the future, I'll be communicating with you more and letting you know exactly what deadlines are coming up and which have been met. Brian Tracy said, communication is a skill that you can learn. It's like riding a bicycle or typing. If you're willing to work at it, you can rapidly improve the quality of every part of your life.
This is a good spot to mention a lot of the conversations that you have in real estate when you're like working with buyers or sellers, obviously. They're the same conversations over and over again. And you'll realize that the longer you're in the business, so those who've been in the business for a long time, you know what I'm talking about. Pretty much all seller conversations or buyer conversations almost follow like this big script, right? It's almost like a play. So our scripts are designed to, their conversation outlines is the essence of what they are. We do want you, when you join Premier Coaching, we do want you to memorize the scripts first. Then we want you to internalize the scripts. Then we want you to personalize the scripts. Memorizing is important at first, so you then have the flow of the words and the sentences and the questions memorized. And then we want you to internalize. Internalize is where you actually start to understand why the questions are put in the order in which they're put in. And then we want you to personalize. We do want you to make the words your own. We do want you to change not the order of the questions or the intent of the questions, but change them so you're more comfortable with it. Don't make the mistake of getting our scripts and going right to personalization and then screwing around with the questions or just skipping this question, because you will later regret it, because you'll then, oh, that's the reason that question was there, after you lose the opportunity to help that buyer or seller. You guys get it? So when we're telling you how to have meaningful conversations and you're in a, you know, a professional salesperson, which all of you are, hypothetically, right? You're going to want to start out with scripts, because that's going to actually give you the shortcut to knowing how to have these meaningful conversations.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out, because scripts really do save you from much of this. So sin number five is exaggeration. That is a prequel to lying. Don't be the drama king or the drama queen in the relationship. It's a turnoff and it causes people not to trust your accuracy. How do you feel, for example, about the home inspectors who run off your buyers when there's just a tiny plumbing leak, but they act like it's the end of the world and it's, you know, it's going to cost thousands of dollars? That's exaggeration. So just stay away from that. The way I cure that is relying on facts, right? I mean, that keeps you from having that problem.
Well, I mean, honestly, when you're reading that point, I was thinking about social media.
Well, that's next, actually. That's even worse.
Okay, go ahead.
You're reading my mind. Dogmatism, okay? This is the confusion of facts with opinions. This is most apparent when someone is delivering their opinion with such enthusiasm that it appears to be a fact. Once this is detected, the trust factor of the listener is greatly diminished. And to your point, Tim, you'll notice that the internet is full of dogmatism. There's a writer that sometimes I read, her name is Vera Nazarian. She said, don't bother to argue anything on the internet, and I mean anything. The most innocuous, innocent, harmless, basic topics will be misconstrued by people trying to deconstruct things down to the subatomic level and entirely miss the point. Seriously, keep peeling the onion and you get no onion. So I like that quote, because it is very pervasive, especially on the videos online, because people can say things with such enthusiasm, well, it'd be easy to believe them.
But going back to point number five, Julie, if someone is building their brand on social media, I mean, there are some funny things on Instagram that are that agents put up, making fun of themselves. It is actually quite funny. You know, the new agent basically looking like they're $1 million, using some filter to make it look like they're absolutely wearing the best clothes, leaning on a Bentley and the whole thing. And they haven't even sold a house yet.
Sure.
But it's funny to make fun of. But unfortunately, that's actually what a lot of you believe it takes for you to be successful in real estate. Is you're supposed to create this illusion that you're already successful and somehow that's going to make people want to do business with you. It's because you've been lied to about where business actually comes from. And even if you do have someone that will respond to you off your social media post of you looking like you're $1 million agent type, you know, from Bravo TV or whatever, even if you do get a lead like that, if you don't actually know how to pre-qualify them and have a meaningful conversation with them, you're not going to actually earn any money. You're not going to be put in a position to help anybody. So the exaggeration, and I'll say even, you know, a word that might we want to add to your list, but we don't have to, is actually narcissism.
Could be a number eight, couldn't it?
Yeah, good. Narcissism is very prolific on social media. And it's narcissism itself is something to be avoided, but it's something that's actually celebrated in social media.
That's for sure.
The never-ending looking at me. Now, I do notice that it's starting to change. people are the evolution of social media is moving away from a lot of the narcissistic behavior, and people are trying to make their media a little bit more purposeful and meaningful, especially in the real estate side of things, where they're trying to provide more content for consumers, which I appreciate. But you got to really be honest with yourself. Are you getting suckered into believing that narcissism and exaggeration and all the rest of it is the way you become successful? Don't you already intuitively know that's not true? Don't you know from back when you used to swim the swim team or whatever it was in high school and you actually did really well, that the thing that made you successful was doing what you didn't want to do when you didn't want to do it at the highest level? Do you really think those rules have changed because you're older and have a real estate license? They're more true now than they've ever been before. It's the accumulation effect of long periods of time of doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. That's what pays the dividends. It's like compounding interest. Julie, yeah, wrote a great podcast on, you know, what was it, 2 days ago about that. And that's the same thing. Compounding interest is nothing other than an analytical demonstration of the, you know, essentially what happens after you've essentially done what you didn't want to do when you didn't want to do it, yeah, at the long period of time. I mean, it truly is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all these things really do apply to so many parts of your life. So sin number 7 is just flat out lying. Lying to cover your tracks, lying to obfuscate the truth, lying to manipulate, lying to dodge accountability. We could go on. But simply have a policy not to be a liar. Julian Treasure suggests that we put a positive light on all of this to get on back on track with our presentation and our communication. He suggests remembering the word hail, H-A-I-L, to remind us of some speaking cornerstones. The H simply stands for honesty. To our previous point, don't lie. Be accurate, be truthful. The A is authenticity. Actually be yourself versus the narcissistic self you might be tempted to post online.
Do be yourself. Now, this is going to be because you guys are professionals. You're trying to, you know, help people buy or sell real estate. Be yourself. But remember, people are, when they're looking to social media, they are going to look to see if they can connect with you on a personal level. But you've got to lead with you being a professional. So just do keep that in mind. Don't be yourself to the extent that you're going to run people off, as in maybe yourself is talking about politics, or maybe yourself is talking about things that, you know, frankly, might turn other people off. Be yourself being a professional real estate person, and then sprinkle in things that are going to make people feel personally connected to you.
Yes, that's very well put. An excellent point. When we coach, we say, you know, be yourself first, be yourself selling real estate second. But to your point, you know, bring out the things that are professional. And other things, you know, that's okay. You don't have to post about every last thing. The I in HAIL stands for integrity. Do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Under promise and over deliver. Set the example. There's so many places in real estate where you can under promise and over deliver. If the sign's going to go in the yard 3 days from now, tell them it's going to be 5 and do it in 2. You know, so many places.
But do tell them when you've done that. I mean, not to the point where you're obnoxious, but do make sure that they are clear. Like Julie's example, you know, the sign will be in the yard in the next 2 days and it's in there in a day. Do text them or call them or just communicate with them and let them know, I know I said it would take 2 days, but I thought I'd get it done in a day. Those types of things. Mm-hmm. You remind them, reinforce in their minds that you're somebody of integrity, and that you have to often tell them that you're exceeding their expectations. That way, in their mind, if you want to talk about having a powerful brand, someone who has integrity, who exceeds people's expectation, you're not going to be able to do that with a bunch of Instagram, TikTok videos, right? You're going to do that from people having actually experienced that with you. That's what makes the difference.
Very well put. And finally, the L in HAIL stands for love. Wish the best for people. Be of service. When you're here to be of service, it's awfully hard to be judgmental, gossipy, or negative, or any of the other things we talked about. Again, HAIL stands for honesty, authenticity, integrity, and love. So what is some homework that people can do to work on this? Well, first of all, commit to removing these 7 deadly sins of communication, 8 if we add narcissism, of course. Remove those 8 from your patterns of speech. One of the things you can do, Tim, you talked about some scripting. You can use the Ford Memory Jogger. That stands for family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. We teach you that in coaching. To use that in your conversations. That method keeps you focused on the other person, it removes your ego, and it prevents you from being negative, judgy, or gossipy. You can join Premier Coaching today to sharpen your skills and be surrounded by like-minded, highly motivated agents and coaches that know this, that coach it, that live it. That way it won't seem like such a different thing to you.
That's right. So here's the thing. If you really want to get at the heart of whether you're on track with these types of thoughts, is monitor, listen, be objective about what you're saying. But really where the next level of growth comes in is notice how you feel when you say what you're saying, right? actually start monitoring yourself, almost like you've got some sort of a device that's giving you feedback. So if you're saying, well, you know what, I don't gossip. Okay, you don't gossip. Maybe you call it something different, but I noticed you're spending a lot of time online talking about different things. And if you want to know really where that motivation is coming from, do you get a little charge when you do that? Does it make you feel a certain way? So here's the thing. Here's the connection. You're actually kind of addicted because you are getting a little, you know, chemical dopamine hit when you are actually communicating in that type of way. So when you start becoming consciously aware of these types of things, we talked about this yesterday with like when we were talking about ego a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like if you feel charged up when you're around somebody, and I mean that in a negative way, it's your ego reacting to their ego. And if you become aware of your ego and why you're feeling maybe adversarial towards them, if you just observe your ego, like, oh, I'm around this person, I just don't like the way I feel, that's your ego reacting to their ego. Be objective about that. Then all of a sudden, you're not going to be triggered like that you were in the past. Those types of breakthrough moments, you only have to have that happen a few times. Then you start realizing you can control your emotional state. Frankly, then you realize how much you've been on autopilot. And that's the reason that people succumb to clickbait. That's the reason people buy leads. That's the reason people, you know, are all these things, because you're so easily manipulated. You have to become the manipulator of yourself by not allowing external forces to manipulate you. And the best way to do that, again, is just to monitor your emotional state. When you read something, how does it make you feel? When you're around somebody, how do they make you feel? When you're, you know, all those things. And then you're going to start having these little epiphanies, these little magic moments where you're going to be able to say, that's interesting. I'm around this person right now and I'm feeling a little anxious. I feel actually a little stress that's kind of manifesting right in my core. I wonder why that is. I don't know why it is, but obviously my ego is reacting to their ego. As soon as you say that, you won't feel that way anymore. And then it just becomes second nature and it happens in milliseconds, but it is a skill that needs to be practiced. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have come to this naturally. Others of you have had to study it. I had to study it, and now it comes to me naturally. But still, things get by me, you know, occasionally, where someone will kind of like, oh, why didn't I like that person? Mm-hmm. Oh, I know why.
Well, different situations, different people. You know, you can be on a really good path, and then something happens. These things don't just go away. I think that this is something to work on as a good human over your life.
And some, you know, like, I'll be around, you know, it happens everywhere. Sometimes you'll be around somebody who they are in an egotistical state, just sticking on ego, or really any of these words. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that their ego is trying to like look for a match. It's trying to engage with your ego. It's trying to be adversarial. It's trying to find that within you. And if you're not allowing yourself to be pulled into their vortex, you become somebody that you now, again, that's one of those magic moments where you're in control of your emotional state. You know, we talked about this yesterday, but if you guys want, truly, if you want to have an amazing, mindset forever, if you want to know really what the decoder ring is, it's what we talked about yesterday, it's what we talked about today. But what's the reoccurring theme of both yesterday's and today's podcast? You do have the ability to control your emotional state. It's about you making the choice. It's about you being observant. And then you ultimately, when you see or feel that emotion evolving in you, you have to make the decision whether you want to continue to allow that to manifest or not. And chances are you don't. And as soon as you catch yourself, you know, you police those emotions and you start realizing, well, there's no reason for me to be adversarial. There's no reason for me to feel challenged. There's no reason for me to feel threatened or egotistical. As soon as you catch yourself in those states, what happens is that your ability to head it off of the past happens, like I said, instantaneously. It won't be something you'll have to, you know, it's not like an emotional Rubik's Cube. As soon as you catch it once, as soon as you catch your ego once, then now you recognize it, it's never going to be able to sneak past you again.
Yeah, and then you have to add some skills, some basic scripting, so that when that sneaks up on you, you'll know what to do. Like somebody says something you totally disagree with, instead of reacting to that and going into judgment, you might say, that's interesting. How did you arrive at that thought?
You mean give yourself a break before you react.
Give yourself a break, right? And I always think of something that Howard Brinton said. He said, get out of judgment and into curiosity. Mm-hmm. Meaning with scripts, all scripts are asking good questions, right? But the problem is when you're in the moment, you have to recognize it and take a breath and say, okay, I don't have to react like that to everything. Why do I feel that way? To your point, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to be curious, and then we're going to move on.
Some of the best salespeople are naturally more intuitive than other people. There's no doubt about it.
I think that's true, but I also think they've worked on it.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Even though they're intuitive, in other words, they can read other people relatively well, it doesn't mean they can read themselves well. where the magic happens, what all of you guys can do, regardless of how intuitive you are naturally, because more analytical people have a tendency not to be that intuitive. It doesn't, you know, who cares why? The moral of the story is, if you can be intuitive, or at least essentially objective about yourself, then that's going to be all the superpower you'll ever need.
Absolutely.
Because you can control yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's really where we round the bend on today's show. So guys, thank you for keeping this number one listen to daily podcast for real estate professionals in at least the United States. It is our pleasure and our honor to be your daily real estate coaches. Now take the next natural step and do join Premier Coaching. You can scroll down in the show description, click the link below, or just go to premiercoaching.com, premiercoaching.com. In the meantime, you have a fantastic day, and we'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.